Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 24th day of August, 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We'll hear from Daryl Good in his posting to the Farm Doc Daily website about storage, bins, and corn. And we'll take a look at the weather forecast, too. That with the guys up at Earthrest Technologies in Chicago. Oh, and the folks out at the Andersons facility from right here in Champaign County will be here to talk about the cash grain market as we talk through this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's take a look at the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Monday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit were 3.5 cents higher at $3.68¾. December contract at 3.80½, up 3¼ for the day. And the March futures at 3.91¾, up 3 cents. May contract in the corn pit at $3.98. That finished 3¼ higher. July at 4.02, up 3. And next year's December at 4.01¼, a penny higher. Soybeans, September contract, 12.5 cents the loss, $8.92¾ the final trade. November at 874, down 15½, and January at 877½, down 16. March contract 876¼, 17 lower. July down 14¾. Next year's November down 14 cents, all in the soybean pit. Bean meal futures at 50 cents lower, 326.40. Bean oil down 81 at 26.55. September soft red winter wheat up 3¾ cents, settled at 503¼. July at 517¾, 5¼ higher. September hard red, 475¾, up 4¾, and the July futures there at $5.30½, up 4 cents for the day. Live cattle futures from Chicago down $1.47½, $143.95 the last trade, or the last trade, but not the settlement price. Feeder cattle in the August contract at $1.22½ lower currently at $210.77½, and lean hogs up the $3 limit at $65.82½. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between each and every business day of the year.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Here's what some of the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil for the day at $37.98 a barrel, down $2.47. Ethanol futures at $1.44¾, that's 4 tenths of a cent lower. Gasoline on the RBOB price at $1.45¼, 8 8/10 of a cent lower. And diesel fuel down 7¼ at $1.38¼. Natural gas at $2.65¼, that's 1¼ of a cent lower. Dow Jones Industrial Average now 670 points lower at 15,794. The U.S. dollar is off 1.67 at 93.33. And gold futures on the day are currently trading at $1,148. They're down $11.20. The weather forecast tells us this afternoon we'll have sunny skies. It's beautiful outside. Cool for an August day, just 74 degrees. Tonight, clear and 50. Tomorrow, sunny and 73. And then on Tuesday night, mostly clear with a low of 52. We'll have a northwest wind at about 6 miles an hour on Tuesday night. That'll stay out of the north-northwest during the day on Wednesday at 6 to 8. Show a sunny sky in 76, and Wednesday night will remain clear with a low of 56. Thursday, sunny and 77. Friday, sunny and 79. Saturday, partly sunny and 82. And will be 83 and sunny on Sunday. The lows in that period in the low 60s. So it should be a beautiful set of several days and a great weekend here in the Midwest. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Let's check now what happened in Chicago and why it happened. That with Pete Manhart. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois on this 24th day of August, filling in for Kurt Kimmel, who's out this afternoon. Thanks, Pete, for being there for us today. We do appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Well, it's been a busy day, and I want to start actually in the energy segment because I read it very quickly and I hadn't been watching it all day long. But crude oil at $37.88, it's bound to been down to $37.76. This has moved sharply lower. Do they just simply believe that the economy in China is going to contract so much that demand for crude oil is going to slack?
That's pretty much it. That was the big factor today and Friday also in everything is China's energy and its economic news is really poor, so it's going to use less of everything. And as a result, crude's down at 37. We saw what happened early when the stock market was down. We had beans down 35 and corn down 14. Those came back, but not all the way on the beans.
Your expectations for the crop progress reports this afternoon?
I think that it will be about unchanged on both corn and beans for the good to excellent rating. And the wheat will show a little more progress and harvest the spring wheat.
Are farmers calling in with much worry today?
They're not really worried about anything except the why the prices are going down. When they hear it's China, they kind of go, ho-hum. But China's the number two country in the world for economics. And if they're going lower, it's not going to be good for our exports around the world anywhere.
The U.S. dollar, I made note, is continuing to move sharply lower at this time. Will that make a difference in the ability of the world, the rest of the world beyond China, to potentially buy U.S. crops and keep the export market intact?
That should help us in the marketplace to be competitive with those going lower.
What do you see in the livestock market for the day?
Livestock market, Jiminy, were down hard in the hogs and then came back and they were up the $3 limit for a long time, might have even closed there. The feeder cattle, though, down $4.70, not good there. And cattle themselves down $1.70 at the towards the end of the day, almost 70 off their low. So usage of that, worrisome.
Yeah, what are the things you'll be watching throughout the week, the rest of the week, this week?
I think the weather forecasts of too much rain, not enough rain, et cetera. With the, August making more beans if we have good weather. And then I think the news from China, what their economic news is.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you being with us for the afternoon.
Have a great one.
You too. That, of course, is Pete Manhart. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Remember, you can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Anytime you'd like, just visit us and you'll be able to pick up the latest programming from WILL and our agricultural programming. Here's what a quick look of the agricultural, speaking of the marketplace, news looks like for the day. There are fears over slowing Chinese economy that's reflected in a sharply lower U.S. stock index over the weekend, and it's been prompting renewed concerns among U.S. farm leaders of a worsening agricultural export picture. China's current currency devaluation has failed to slow its economic slide, including its export losses, and the Chinese expect continued losses in coming months. National Farmers Union Union's Roger Johnson says China failed to reform its economy and its currency when it needed
and
to.
And now they're at this point where they may not have the ability to make the adjustments as quickly as what they would like to. And we may well be ending up in a period of substantial economic slowdown. I'm not the one who's going to predict that, but certainly events of the last several days it would indicate that there's trouble.
Johnson's group argues Congress needs to take a tougher line on currency manipulation that China and others use to try to prop up their economies. The White House opposed stronger language in the Trade Promotion Authority bill. China's not part of ongoing Pacific trade talks, but Johnson argues without action, others will do what China's doing.
China reduces its currency. That makes their goods cheaper, not just in the U.S. market, but everywhere. And so now their other competitors will find themselves in a slightly disadvantageous position, so they are incented to manipulate their currency, which is exactly what Vietnam is doing.
And perhaps less directly what Japan and the EU have been doing for some time. All this likely points to a slowdown in U.S. farm exports, at least in the near term. Johnson says China, the world's largest buyer of U.S. soybeans, for example, still has relatively robust growth, but it's half what it was not so very long ago. Well, Pro Farmer finished up what it looked at last week and has pegged the U.S. corn crop at 13.23 billion bushels on an average yield of 164.3 bushels per acre. Pro Farmer held its 2015 Midwestern crop tour last week. For soybeans, Pro Farmer estimates the crop at 3.88 billion bushels with an average yield of 164.3 bushels to the acre. The estimates are based on assumption of a normal weather that through September. Well, The Hill reports a bipartisan group of senators from Western states are asking the Environmental Protection Agency's Inspector General to investigate all aspects of a recent spill in Colorado. The senators are asking the Inspector General to probe everything from the work EPA contractors were doing in the Cold King mine before the August 5th spill to the safeguards the agency put in place to prevent other spills in the future. The senators, led by a Colorado Republican, sent the letter on Wednesday. EPA's Inspector General announced an investigation into the spill earlier in this week. Well, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley has planned a roundtable discussion tomorrow in his home state on avian influenza. Grassley will meet with Iowa producers who have been affected by AI outbreaks, and producers are expected to discuss the response of the federal government to the outbreak and if further action should be taken by the USDA or Congress. According to the USDA, Iowa had some 75 confirmed detection sites of the disease and required 31.7 million birds to be euthanized. And finally, the U.S. Grains Council reports U.S. ethanol exports are expected to be the second largest on record as the ethanol export promotion efforts ramp up by the U.S. Grains Council and its partners, Growth Energy, the Renewable Fuels Association, and USDA's FAS, Foreign Agricultural Service. Grains Council Chief Economist Mike Dwyer said global ethanol exports during the first 10 months of the current marketing year posted an 11% gain over last year's numbers, while 2015 exports of U.S. ethanol to Canada, the top international customer, are down some 26% on volume. All other major markets have shown increases due to strong demand and U.S. ethanol supplies that are competitively priced. The second and third largest importers, Brazil and the Philippines, have grown 71% and 44%, respectively. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. December corn futures have been on a roller coaster ride up and down this year. First, it appeared there would be way too much of the grain, and then, because of the rains, maybe too little. And now it feels like the too little might become just enough or too much again. The just enough to meet the need has put pressure on the market to move lower. This weakness, writes Daryl Good in this week's online Farm Doc Daily article, is coming from the supply side. Now, there is a general agreement USDA's corn production forecast will not increase. It, in August, put this fall's corn harvest at 13.686 billion bushels. Instead, market commentary seems to suggest the trade is expecting the yield forecast to decline by as much as 3 to 4 bushels to the acre. So the crop is getting smaller, but so's the price. It's about the demand, says Good.
Continuing weakness in corn prices reflects perceived demand weakness. Concerns about demand may stem from two sources. First is a concern that exports of U.S. corn will fall short of the current USDA projection. Second is the concern about weak commodity demand in general resulting from slow economic growth domestically and globally.
Clearly, domestic consumption of corn during the 2015-16 marketing year is not of immediate concern. The USDA projection of 5.25 billion bushels of corn used for ethanol production is consistent with the 5.2 billion expected for the marketing year just ending, and a modest increase in domestic gasoline consumption next year. The projection of 5.3 billion bushels for feed and residual use next year equals the projection for the current year. Another large crop implies large residual use of corn and low corn prices, along with steady to higher animal numbers, and that should support actual feed consumption of corn. On the other hand, USDA projects corn exports during the 15-16 marketing year that begins September 1 at 1.85 billion bushels, equal to the projection of the current year. However, total outstanding sales of U.S. corn for export during the 2015-16 marketing year, they're relatively small, says Darrell Good.
It is recognized that the magnitude of early sales is not always a good predictor of marketing year exports. Since 2005, sales of as of mid-August as a percentage of marketing year exports range from about 8% to as high as 42% and averaged 18%. Current sales represent 12% of the USDA projection for the upcoming year. Still, the small export sales total is concerning in the context of potentially weak world demand, the relatively strong U.S. dollar, and expectations of large supplies of corn in other exporting countries.
Factually, with nearly 55 weeks remaining until the end of the 15-16 marketing year, export sales need to average about 30 million bushels per week in order for exports to reach 1.85 billion bushels. Here's how this all plays out on the farm. Producers will need to evaluate the corn storage decision, says Darrell Good. Current low prices mean farmers will likely choose to store much of the crop that has not been priced. The current basis in the cash market and the carry in the futures markets give some indication about the potential return to storing corn. In central Illinois, for example, the average cash bid for harvest delivery reflects a basis of about 30 cents under relative to the December contract and 52 under the July contract. Good says if the July 2016 basis improves to about 5 under by June of 2016, as it did this year, the market's offering about 47 cents a bushel to store corn for about 9 months. That return would cover the out-of-pocket cost of on-farm storage, but may be closer to break-even for commercial storage costs for some producers. The only way to capture the storage return, however, is to forward price the stored crop in the cash or futures markets. The spot price of corn will have to increase by some 47 cents by next spring in order for the return on the corn stored unpriced to exceed the likely return to a storage hedge. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Monday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Amy Sage. She's at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Amy, thanks for taking the time with us. This was an unusual Monday morning and a little scary, I suppose, for almost everybody when you first arrived at the office today.
It was, especially after, last night. We were a little bit nervous about how we would open, but things weren't too terrible right on the open. But then this morning, obviously, it looked like the world was coming to an end. So a little bit stressful for a lot of people. Obviously, we've come back here, and we came back midway through the session. So I guess that relaxed some folks a little bit, being sold off then on the close, but corn held its own, and it gave people a little bit better feeling all around that at least we didn't hold the lows for the day.
Was there much talk about the pro-farmer number that was released after the close Friday afternoon, the 4 bushels less than what USDA was projecting, or is that something that most of the trade had already started to factor in?
You know, I think a lot of people had factored that in. Obviously, we had such a huge discrepancy between the average trade guess and then what the numbers actually came out with on the 12th. You know, that's been the word of the year, is variability and uncertainty on what is actually out there and in what regions. So I think you're right. I think a lot of people had already been looking at those numbers throughout the week as the tour was going on, and we were watching on Twitter and getting the updates going along the way. So a lot of people already kind of expecting those numbers. Not a ton of talk about them since they actually published their U.S. yield there, but I think some of that was overshadowed, too, just by the world economy and the impact that was playing on us today.
And I know from east to west, probably the Andersons facilities have a whole different set of opinions. Of course, those guys in Iowa, the couple of facilities out there, and the one in Nebraska probably setting in much better conditions. Where are you folks pegging the crop for corn? And is the soybean crop as good as maybe everybody thinks it is?
You know, that's something that we have been a little hesitant to put out there so far, and because it is so difficult to peg bean yields. I guess we haven't really been anxious to put out a state-by-state. We're using, I guess I'll tell you, that the Andersons has a 45.5 is what we're putting on beans at the moment. We did adjust our corn yield since the report had come out and based on crop conditions and some reanalysis. Andersons is using a 165.32, if that's specific enough for you, on the corn yield at this point. So, and reevaluating that pretty consistently as we look at continued progress. You know, by and large, probably not a lot's changing in corn at this point. So I'm guessing that's probably where we'll stick until we get to the harvest numbers.
Do you suppose you're going to have to reevaluate demand?
Yes, I would say that's going to be a major component here since everything's been changing so drastically in currencies, and that's a major concern for us right now. We'll see if some of this recovers and if it doesn't end up being the disaster that obviously what we were looking at potentially last night and into this morning. So, but we will be consistently looking at the demand side as well.
Let's turn our attention to old crop at the moment. What do your basis numbers look like?
Yeah, we are still option the September on corn, and we've been there for a few weeks now. Bean basis, though, on the other hand, it was very strong, and we had been ratcheting up almost on a daily basis. Now we've been ratcheting lower on a daily basis as processors have backed off and have had their needs met. So we are 20 over the November right now for old crop beans going home tonight.
And for new crop?
New crop corn, we're still 14 under the December, historically a very good basis level in our region for this time of year. And for new crop soybeans, we are 20 under the NOV, which is pretty standard for this time.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Amy Sage. She's with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. A couple of things. Next week is Farm Progress Show. That's in Decatur over at Progress City. It's really simple to get to. Just off of the interstate at exit what? I believe it's Route 48. I don't remember the exit number exactly, but Route 48. And the interstate going through Decatur. You'll be able to drop off there and visit with us in the University of Illinois tent. I'll be there in the afternoon live with the Closing Market Report. We may even try to go live on Monday afternoon. I'll be setting up, so we'll see how that goes. And Orion will be in the tent at 10 o'clock each and every day. That's on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at the Farm Progress Show.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
It's National Peach Pie Day. It's also St. Bartholomew's Day, patron of cheese merchants and butchers. On this day in agricultural history in 1842, Benjamin Wright died. An American engineer, he directed the construction of the Erie Canal. Wright made the project a School of Engineering project, and until the mid-1800s, almost every civil engineer in the U.S. had either directly trained with or trained under someone who had worked with Wright on the canal. In 1869, Cornelius Swarthout received the first U.S. patent for a waffle iron. In 1894, Rudolf Geiger was born. A German meteorologist, he was one of the founders of microclimatology, the study of climate conditions within a few feet of the soil. His observations made above grassy fields and areas of crops shed light on the complex interactions between vegetation, heat, radiation, and water balances of the air and soil. In 1909, workers poured the first concrete for the Panama Canal. Finishing all the locks took nearly 4 years. In 1918, Roy McIntyre was born. A chemical engineer who worked for Dow Chemical Company, he invented styrofoam. And in 1997, Lewis Essen died. An English physicist, he invented the first practical atomic clock. His cesium beam atomic clock ultimately changed the way time is measured. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On this Monday afternoon, we're joined by Mark Russo. He's with EarthRest Technologies out of Chicago. Thanks, Mark, for being with us. Let's not start here. We'll come back to the really nice weather in the United States in just a moment. But I think they have some more difficulties they're trying to deal with in other parts of the world. You mentioned Ukraine and Russia. What's happening there?
Yeah, that's really become the focus of attention of late on account of continued dryness. And while last week featured some rain activity in Eastern Europe, namely Hungary, Bulgaria, Romania, and Serbia, that rain did not progress eastward into Ukraine. That kept them dry, and it looks like the forecast here over the next 2 weeks. So it's going to be more of the same here with below normal precip across the Ukraine, Western Russia wheat belt. And so now with planting of winter wheat beginning to start up, they're going to need more moisture here to improve soil moisture, and we do not see really any kind of significant relief on the moisture front over the next 2 weeks.
How long have they been dry?
Well, for Ukraine, it's been really the past 4 to 5 weeks. It goes back into the latter part of July here. And so it is a bit more short term, but the overall, if you look back over the past 6 months, they've gone through these time frames of near normal rainfall and then below. And so right now they're entering yet another window here of below normal precip.
Come back to the United States. We have beautiful weather conditions in Champaign-Urbana today, and it appears we'll have clear skies and mid to upper 70s, maybe low 80s, even through the weekend.
Yeah, it's a fantastic week here with overall generally dry conditions across much of the Midwest, and any activity that does fall is more in the light to moderate range, and with that will be cooler than normal temperatures. And so overall a very pleasant week for those areas that still could use some precip. A few pockets here and there across the Midwest, the opportunities, there'll be some opportunities, but nothing, no big widespread rain system. But looking ahead towards next week, it does look like temperatures are actually going to change more significantly, and actually we get back into a warmer than normal pattern across the entire Midwest, actually let alone the entire central and eastern U.S.
What is it, the system, that's bringing us such good conditions this week?
it's kind of a cutoff low pressure system. And with these kind of cutoff systems, it's really positioned across the Great Lakes. And so that slows things down, and that's just filtering in some less humid or lower dew point Canadian air. And that's resulting in these below normal temperatures, albeit, you know, nothing extreme here for the Midwest. And in fact, pretty nice.
Thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Don.
Mark Russo is with Earthrus Technologies. He's in Chicago, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon. Please do visit us on our website at willag.org. Please do plan to visit us next week at the Farm Progress Show on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The U of I tent
Many
is just inside the main gate. Hang a right,
and
within a half a block or so, you'll be able to find us. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.